Hello, this is Tyler Fender. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
As you're going there, let me just thank everyone for all of your thoughtfulness for my birthday this past week. Your cards, your gifts, your texts, your messages, everything was so awesome. I feel the love. Life moves at the speed of relationships, and my life is moving fast because of the right people, and I count it a privilege and a blessing to know each and every one of you. And thank you for loving me. Thank you for supporting me. And thank you for standing with me. And the next 40 are going to be my best 40 in Jesus' name. Matthew chapter 12, verse 43. For those of you that are wondering, yes, I have hit the clock, so we are on the clock. Don't act like you weren't wondering. Y'all see it up here. Y'all are like, all right, go ahead and hit that clock. Matthew 12, verse 43. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finds none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he finds it empty, swept and garnished. Then he goeth and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they entered and dwelled there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. Even so shall it also be unto this wicked generation. This was Jesus himself talking. The last state is worse than the former state. The end. Man, that doesn't preach very easy on a Sunday. That's not your best is yet to come. Your worst is yet to come if you don't deal with the spirits that are dealing with you. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, I'm in spiritual warfare. You may be seated. This is a tough topic. But it is a very biblical topic. At 10:55 today, I said to Mandy, I called out, her office is right next to mine, and we always keep the door open unless I'm annoying her, and then she shuts it. But good thing the lock's on my side, so I can just open it back up. But I just yelled out to her. I said, hey, today's going to be good. I said, a lot of great content, practical content, but I said it's all straight Bible, stuff you can't argue with. I mean, it's in there looking us dead in the face. There is a war that is waging, to catch everybody up in the first minute here. There's a war that is waging 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Your enemy doesn't take any days off. He works overtime and he works holidays. I've learned in 22 years of ministry and pastoring that most people fall in one of two camps. People that think they're being spiritually attacked and are not. And people that are being spiritually attacked and they don't know it. There's a problem with both, because the first group has busied themselves fighting a battle that does not exist. The second group is losing a battle that they don't know they're in. Can I just pause right here and tell you, and let me just step away from my notes to tell you, this is my personal belief on what I've seen in the Word of God and the character of God. And this is an example of fighting a fight that does not exist. I believe as a believer, not as a pastor, not as a Bible communicator, as a believer, I do not believe a believer can have a generational curse. It always gets quiet when I say this. And I always have emails the next day. Don't send me the emails. You're never going to change my mind on this. We can agree to disagree. Last time I made this statement, a very sweet woman, probably 75 years of age, she emailed me the next day and she said, on the contrary, Brandon, this is this, 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 and this. And I said, no, to believe a generational curse, it tells me that the blood of Jesus was not enough. And I'm here to tell you, when I got washed with the blood of Jesus, every curse, everything that was on me, everything that was connected to me, everything that was happening before me, everything that was in my lineage was broken in Jesus' name. I have no problem with you believing that if you want to live under that curse. But the generational curse is a lie from the adversary. Let me tell you why preachers like to preach it. Preachers like to preach it because they give you a spirit you don't have. Then they deliver you from that spirit to make them look like they are something. I'm not going to put something on you just to deliver you from it to make me look better. It's not me. It's the Christ. Christ don't need my help. He did it all alone on the cross by himself, hanging naked on a tree. He bled to break every curse. But let me help most generational curse people. Let me help you with your theology. You really don't believe in a generational curse. You believe in a generational pattern. If your dad was an alcoholic, you're more predisposed to be an alcoholic. If your mom had an issue with crack, you're more likely to have an issue with crack, not because of the bloodstream, but because you are around it and it is available to you. My granddad drove a Ford truck. My dad drives a Ford truck. I drive a Ford truck. My son drives a Ford Mustang. I'm going to say something that I never thought I'd say, and Omega Miller's about to get excited because he drives a Dodge Ram. That's about this much smaller than mine. The reason I drive a Ford isn't because that Ford has done something for me that no one else has done. But I lived in a house that all I saw was Ford. I lived around people, come on now, all they talked about was Ford. So when it came time to me to buy a truck, I didn't look anywhere else, but it was what I was predisposed to, what I had lived around, what I had heard talked about, and so that is what I became. Can I tell you, you are not a crackhead, you are not an alcoholic, you are not an idol worshiper, you are not a godless person because of a curse. You might have been around it, but thanks be to God, we've been delivered from it. Today, I will root on America's team, the Dallas Cowboys. You say, well, the Steelers have more Super Bowls. Well, football is a business, and the Dallas Cowboys are worth the most of any franchise in the NFL, so they are number one. I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. Tyler is a Dallas Cowboys fan. Tyler's son, come on. Generation, generation. Some of you are living in San Antonio. You've never been to New York and you're a Giants fan. Because your grandfather was from New York. Or your grand. Can I encourage you? There is no generational curse that Jesus did not break. Now, this is what I'm going to tell you. You can take that curse and put it back on. You can scoop it back up and put it back on. But I'm telling you, you don't have to carry that thing anymore. It was broken on the cross. You were freed on the cross. And there is a generational blessing that comes with Jesus. And now when you broke that curse by accepting Christ, now there is a healing blessing on your lineage. There's a deliverance blessing on your lineage. Your children's children's children are free. I got to do that about every 60 days, every 90 days to make sure that we're, listen, don't at me. You're not going to change my mind. If you want to live under that curse, that's you can do that and still go to heaven if you want to struggle with that. Just like people that say, I don't believe in prosperity. Be broke. That's fine. Doesn't bother me. What, I don't believe God heals. That's fine. Be sick. Go to an early grave. That's not for me. As for me and my house, we believe in a curse-breaking God that broke the curse 2,000 years ago. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. There is the spiritual warfare that is coming to test believers, to tempt believers, to take down believers. Sober means to be clear-headed. We need to get rid of the clutter. The first message in this series is designed to keep you from getting possessed, to keep you from getting oppressed. It says be vigilant. Vigilant means to watch, to stay awake, to stay alert, to be meticulous. It means to stay ready. We ended last session talking about if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. We need believers to stay ready. How do you stay ready? By staying in the Word of God, staying prayed up, staying worshiped up. Having devotion with God on days that are not Sunday and Wednesday. Can I tell you, the devil comes to you on days other than Sunday, tempting you. And you don't got to get ready on Sunday for your Monday, Tuesday, and then get ready on Wednesday for your, you can stay ready and stay stirred up and stay strong in your faith. If you don't know there's a battle, you are losing. If you don't know there's a battle, you are a casualty or will become a casualty. I believe, church, if we could see through spiritual lenses, that we would be shocked and some would be paralyzed by fear of how much spiritual activity is going on around us on a daily basis. I think you'd be shocked what kind of spirit your friends are dealing with. And you say, well, that's them. No, 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 that's them. But if you hang out with them and you rub shoulders with them, what's on them will get on you. What's on them will get on you. You say, you really think there's a lot of spiritual things going on? The Bible says this, that God has not given you the spirit of fear. Boom, 2 Timothy 1:7, it declares that the fear is a spirit. So if you were to put on, oh, I heard Brother Charlie say yes. Welcome back to San Antonio. You've been gone 10 days on vacation. I missed you. But if we could see through spiritual lenses today, there's actual spirits of fear that have attached themselves to you. Some of you, they're on. Some of you, they're in. It starts as an on. But it ends, their goal is to get in you. Because now you're not dealing with a spirit of fear that you can just pray off in 3 seconds. But now you've got to have spiritual surgery to get what is on the inside of you out of you. Here's the thing, stay ready and don't get possessed. If you're going to get possessed with the Holy Spirit. But listen, if you're not oppressed, stay ready so the enemy doesn't get on you. But if he gets on you, get him off of you as quick, because I'd rather him be on you than in you. Because we can pray and we can, but if he gets in you, it's going to take a concerted effort from you and the power of God to deliver you. But I want to encourage you to start discerning spiritual warfare around you. Don't put yourself in places where you know the spirits are. There's 2 cities that I've been in. I will not mention them because there are people that love these cities and are from these cities, and I don't want to cast them in a negative light, but there's 2 cities in our nation that I've been to that I never want to go back again, because when I go there, the spirit of God within me is grieved. One is because of the spirit of homosexuality that resides in this one city. It is the modern Babylon or Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, Pastor, I wish you wouldn't preach against homosexuality. I preach against anything the Word of God makes a clear stand on. I preach against homosexuality, but I also preach against you shacking up with your girlfriend or boyfriend before you're married and having premarital sex. I'll preach against that. I'll preach against you getting drunk. I'll preach against you lying, cheating, gossiping, and being divided. I'll preach against it all. So don't get mad when I just pick that one. But I don't go, some of y'all got quiet on me, that's all right. I don't go to that city because there's spiritual stuff there. You say, are you afraid that spirit's going to get on you? I'm not afraid that spirit's going to get on me, but I don't want to have to fight someone else's battle. I'm dealing with me. I'm dealing with me, myself, and I. I'm like Paul, when I would do good, evil is present. That which I want to do, I don't do. And the thing I hate, that's what I end up doing. I'm dealing with me. And I can be bad all by myself in Guadalupe County, sitting over there in Seguin, Texas, without going to another city. The other city is a witchcraft city, a black magic city. I literally have driven through that city 10 or 12 times, and my stomach literally turns. You say, I don't get that way. You should. Maybe it's because the Holy Spirit is just on you and not in you. We're going to get there. Maybe that spirit that wants to be in you, that's the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, maybe that one's just on you on Sundays, but you leave it here on Sunday. See, you got to be able to say, God, fill me with your spirit. So when I hit that back door and I end up at my job and my family and there's warfare going on, those things that are trying to come in me, there's no room for that spirit. Why? Because I've got the Holy Spirit. I think we'd be surprised. Not just fear. I think we'd be surprised at the spirits that are connected to people. I think you'd be surprised walking out in this parking lot to see the spirits sitting on the hood of your car saying, we've been waiting for a couple hours. Let's go back home. I think we'd be surprised if when we walked out tomorrow morning and got in our car, truck to go to work, that the spirit riding shotgun saying, hey, I've been planning some things all night. Let's go to your job and let's wreak some havoc. I think we'd be surprised. Not doing that to scare you. I'm doing that to warn you and say that we need more prayer. We need more intercession. That's a warfare prayer. We need more. Listen, we need more. Not just reading the Word of God, doing the Word of God. The more that you testify, the more that you witness, the more that you declare the Word of God, the more stronghold or the more stepping stones you put for God to step into your life, which breaks down the enemy's strongholds. Turn to your neighbor and tell them there's a lot going on around you. Spiritual warfare must have two parties that are in contention for one thing. You know why you face spiritual warfare and spiritual attacks? Because you are a prize that God and Satan are fighting over. God and Satan are fighting over you. When you're tempted, that is Satan trying to get you over to his side. When God tests you and you feel the Spirit of God and you feel what we felt 30 minutes ago in this room, that is God pulling you, tug of war, pulling you back to his side saying, come on, daughter. Come on, man of God. Come on, daughter of Zion. I'm here for you. I'm fighting for you. You say, am I worth all that? Jesus thinks you're worth so much that he died for you. And you're stuck in the middle. God the Father fighting for his children so that they can have eternal life through Jesus and abundant life. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? I don't want to get there today because it's where I'll spend the next two sessions probably. But the Bible says that we are temples of the Holy Spirit. Do you know the word possessed has gotten a bad rap because of exorcism? And exorcists? Come on, you were raised Catholic. Some of you called the priest to your house to bring their little swingy thing with the incense. I don't even know what that does. Some of them are pretty good, though. I'm not making fun of it. I just don't understand why you got to call somebody when you're a believer. You can call me, but listen, you can cast them out. But we look at that word possessed, and they're possessed. We get uncomfortable. No. Possessed is not what should make you uncomfortable. What spirit possesses you is what should make you uncomfortable. See, when I got filled with the Holy Ghost in July of 1999, I got possessed with the Holy Spirit. And you remember when Emily Rose, she was, turning her neck and projectiling, vomiting against the wall. Don't act like you never watched that movie. You're not just watching Left Behind and Kirk Cameron movies all day. Don't act like that. I'm not the only one out here on this ledge. My God. Oh, Pastor, I only watch Fireproof. That's all I want. You are a liar, and I got a place for you right here. But the same way that she was possessed. You know why I no longer watch movies like that? It's real. Y'all are acting like it's entertainment. That stuff's real. You know why I would rather go watch Chucky, that little doll? Because that ain't real. It looks fake. It is fake. But when you start talking about someone being possessed, I've been in services where people's faces contoured into demonic faces, where their voice changed. People that I was raised with and I loved, I saw them contort their bodies on the floor and us have to cast devils out. The reason I don't watch that stuff is I've lived that stuff and I'm not playing with it. I'm possessed with a spirit that can do away with that spirit. It says, don't you know your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? The Spirit resides in us. Who is in you, whom you've received from God. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. You say, why does God fight for me? Because he paid for you with the blood of Jesus. Why does God want little old, 40-year-old, 250-pound, bald-headed, white little man, Brandon. Why does he want? Because he bought me with Jesus' blood. because he bought you with Jesus. Well, what about my past? It's under the blood. He doesn't remember it. If you have accepted him as your Savior and repented of your sin, why does he want me with all of my mistakes? He doesn't see the mistakes. He sees the creation that he created. He sent Jesus to die for you. He bought you with a price. That's why there's spiritual warfare. Okay, that explains why God wants me. Why is the devil fighting for me? Because you took his place. Ezekiel tells us the story of Lucifer falling down from heaven. We took his place as worshipers. We were created to be worshipers. And so God the Father fights for us. Why? Because he paid for us with the blood of Jesus Christ. The devil fights for us because we took his spot. Do you know that when you and I were worshiping in this place and we started stomping feet and we started raising hands and people started hitting knees, oh, it riled the devil up. Why? Because he can't worship like that anymore. He lost his place. He lost his authority. He lost his voice. He lost it all. And when he sees you, he sees what he lost. So there's a tug of war. Spiritual warfare, a tug of war. And the crazy thing about it, church, is it's not always over a major thing. When you got up this morning at 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock, there was a small voice that said, you've been every Sunday this year, just stay in bed. When you were making out your check, this still happens to me, and I've been given faithfully for 3.5 decades. When I'm writing out my check and filling out envelopes, there's still that voice saying, you've given the church tens of thousands of dollars. They don't, that what you're giving's not going. That's a tug of war. And God's saying, keep giving. Keep giving. Not only are you going to bless the church, but you give me a reason to bless you. There's no excuse for me not to bless you. And when you serve, and they say, yeah, you've been serving 20 years. I think it's time that you let these young guns take your spot. No, let them serve beside you. We need you serving. We need the new generation serving. Don't listen to the adversary. Adversary, it is a tug of war. God, because he paid for you with his blood, the blood of his son. The devil, because you took his spot and you are stuck in the middle. So while God and Satan are fighting over you, what are you doing? Exodus 14:13, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you this day. For the Egyptians whom you have seen to this day, you shall never see them again forever. There is four things that God said to do while God is working the miracle. Remember this. He's about to open the Red Sea. The nation of Israel was not strong enough, was not smart enough, did not have everything that they needed to be able to dam the Red Sea up so they could get through it. So while God was doing the Red Sea miracle, the nation of Israel was not called to just stand there. If you're standing, you're losing. If you're watching, you're losing. I want to encourage somebody. You watched us worship today. Shame on you. You say, well, God saw the whole house worshiping. No, God saw individuals worshiping that make up the house. But for every worshiper God saw, God also saw the others saying, hey, why aren't you worshiping? I've done a lot for you like I've done for them. You're asking me to do this, and then you won't give me worship on Sunday morning. And if you don't do it on Sunday, I guarantee you Monday through Saturday, you're not worshiping either. Come on, God deserves the worship. God loves the worship. God moves through the worship. I'm not standing there doing nothing. He said, here's the four things you do. He said, you fear not. When the devil attacks me, I'm not scared. Simply put, not very theological, but my God is bigger than him. I don't fear. Cancer shows up in my family. I don't fear. Doesn't mean, listen, crying and being afraid are not the same thing. I'm not afraid. I can shed tears. I'm not afraid. Fear not, number one. He said, stand still. The NIV says, stand firm. So stand still does not mean you're doing nothing. It means do not go backwards. Do not sit down. Do not vacillate. Do not waver. Do not wobble. But get your faith that what God said he would. Listen, I know I'm being attacked, but I remember what God said. And this attack is not going to take me out. It's spiritual warfare. I know how to fight this battle. Fear not, stand still. See
see the salvation of the Lord. See means an expectation. It says, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you this day. I'll tell you something that I love about deliverance. You might have been possessed or oppressed for 50 years. God can deliver you in 0.5 seconds. The longer you've been possessed doesn't make God strain. And if you've been possessed for 5 years, it's going to take 2 hours of us tarrying and praying. No, I believe in the authority that when I tell that spirit he has to go, he has to go. When I tell that spirit he cannot stay, he knows he's evicted, he must leave. Not tomorrow, it doesn't matter if it's a Sunday morning or a Thursday afternoon. As a believer, I want an immediate result.
Can I just help you? Healing comes by faith. Some healing take longer. Sometimes you pray in October and you don't receive your healing till June. Deliverance is not faith. Deliverance is authority. And when you use authority, I'm not trying to talk you out. I am making you leave. Oh, come on. Come on, church. See, if you come to my house uninvited, we're weaponized at the Fender Estate. You got a .357, arrows, throwing knives, throwing stars. We got it all. If that don't work, we got a couple baseball bats. It might take a little longer, but it'll get the job done. I am here to tell you, when I tell you to get out off my property or get out of my house, I'm telling you, just like in Monopoly, do not pass go, do not collect your belongings. You got about 5 seconds to get, to vacate, to leave. When I tell you that healing takes faith, but deliverance takes authority, you, my friend, are in that church. You, my friend, serve that God. And when we speak the word of God, it has to happen. Turn to your neighbor and tell them authority. I'm out of time, but let's go on just a little bit longer. Pastor Beck, if you'll stand up, you'll put a little pressure on me. Begin to play a little bit, you'll put a little pressure on me. Can I tell you, and this is going to help, the two camps, the ones that are fighting battles that don't exist and the ones that are not fighting battles that they're in. Can I tell you just a couple things that spiritual warfare is not? You having a flat tire is not spiritual warfare. I've said this so many times. You've been driving that car, that truck, since 2014. You have not rotated your tires. You have not put air in your tires. You have chose to patch that same tire 4 times instead of just paying the $80 or $120 for a new tire. A flat tire is not spiritual warfare. A caffeine headache is not spiritual warfare. You think the devil is giving you a headache? No, he gives cancers. He wants to kill you, not annoy you. He wants to steal and destroy everything that God has built in our lives. He's not trying to make you uncomfortable. He's trying to take you out. Man, I just don't feel good. The devil, man, he's just been after me all. I had that flat tire on the way to work, and now my boss is mad at me because I was 30 minutes late, and I got, that's not spiritual warfare. That's not spiritual warfare. Someone saying something bad at you or coming at you on social media, not spiritual warfare. 12 missionaries this morning while we were sleeping, on their way back, I believe it was in Haiti, kidnapped. That's warfare. My headache, not warfare. My issue that I'm going through that seems so big in my life, it's an annoyance. It's not warfare. What spiritual warfare is not? Bad things that happen to us because of lack of preparation on our part. That's not spiritual warfare. Well, I have no money. Can't pay my light bill. My rent, my mortgage is due. This is a spiritual attack. No, you bought the iPhone 13 when you had no business buying it.
You go to dinner at Chili's and you spend $40 on food and $80 on liquor. That is not spiritual warfare. That is bad decisions. And here's another one that I want to end with. I guess I'll end with this one. Spiritual warfare does not mean you're out of the will of God. If anything, it means that you're in the will of God. I'm attacked the most right before breakthrough, right before God does something big, moves significantly, speaks something significant. Now I'm talking, as we stand our feet today, I'm talking to those of you that is not a headache, it's not a bad moment. But you say, Pastor, I am under attack in my mind, between my ears. That war rages all day long. When I feel like I've gotten my business going or my job's going right, I get home and I find out that there's problems in my marriage. And he's talking this way, she's doing this. I'm under attack. And we'll get to what that spiritual attack looks like next week. God bless these young men coming to this altar. But I want to open this altar right now for men and women.